Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Cullen Economics Report. Now, just as a note to all of our podcast listeners, we have gone to a different distribution network through podcasting. So if you haven't been getting some of our podcasts, please email us. Let us know what provider you use for downloading your podcast, and we'll make sure that we can update all that information. Let's get right into this show, because this week it was all about waiting for the Fed meeting and statement, and then also the GDP numbers out of the U.S. We're kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, we are recording this later in the day on Wednesday, so we have the Fed statement and press conference behind us. We got that 75 basis point rate hike, which it seemed like the market was very much expecting. Muted movements after the initial statement, but then during the press conference, we really started to see assets, financial assets, move higher. The U.S. markets, they all popped higher. Metals popped higher. The U.S. dollar dropped. That was really the takeaway from a lot of the markets and the moves immediately post the Fed. Now, undoubtedly, we're going to get some volatility continuing to the end of the week. But, Jesse, it was all about the press conference that started to move these markets. What did you take away from the press conference? What Jerome Powell said that really pushed investors back into stocks?
Well, what has really had markets freaked out over the last couple of months is this hawkish pivot at the Fed from, you know, believing and espousing that inflation was transitory to, okay, it's not transitory. Now we need to get serious. And at the June meeting, I think Jay Powell made it very clear that they were willing to do whatever it took to bring inflation back down. You know, if that means recession, so be it. If that means an unemployment rate going significantly higher, so be it. They have to address the stable prices side of the mandate over everything else. And so I think the markets, that was why markets started pricing in 100 basis points for this meeting and started believing that the Fed was going to be a lot more hawkish than markets had actually priced in to that point. Now, this meeting was a departure from that language in every respect. I think Jay Powell made it very clear that they were going to no longer provide any forward guidance. That was very clear. That, when asked about the next rate hike in September, they said they're going to be data dependent. We're not going to guide you to 75 basis points or 100 basis points like they did by leaking to the Wall Street Journal recently and et cetera. We're not going to guide you. We're going to be data dependent. And that's going to leave them some flexibility to do another 75 basis points if they need to, or to, you know, do something less if the, you know, economic data comes in weak over the next couple of months. So, you know, there was that. There was the clear statement. He was asked about, you know, what level of unemployment would get you, you know, to pivot. And he basically was pretty clear in saying, you know, we want to try and bring inflation down without having recession, without unemployment going up too much. That was a big departure from saying we're going to do whatever it takes to bring down inflation. Clearly, they're not willing to allow unemployment to go up by a certain amount. You know, it sounds very clear that they believe they're now at neutral with the Fed funds rate. They want to take it into restrictive territory, but again, he said, at some point, they're going to have to slow those rate hikes. And so just talking about slowing rate hikes is a sort of forward guidance to the market, saying that they think maybe that they have tightened financial conditions enough, which is a very big difference from where we were a month ago. To me, it's very reminiscent of Powell in 2018 when, you know, they raised rates to 2% and change. And he said, we're a long way from neutral. That was the June meeting that we just had. We're a long way from where we need to be in terms of where rates are now. Now they basically said, yeah, we're at neutral and we're going to be data dependent going forward, which is an all clear to markets that have been having to price in a more hawkish policy over the last few months.
Yeah, Jesse, it's really an interesting way that the Fed messages, because if you remember back to the 2018 that you just referenced, they were going to be data dependent back then. And then before the tapering started, when they were in 2020 and going into 2021, they were going to be data dependent then. And if people remember back in 2021, just last year, they said they weren't even thinking about getting ready to start hiking rates until 2023, but obviously they did. They thought inflation was transitory, but obviously it wasn't. They were going to do a 50 basis point hike 2 months back, and then they came out and leaked information to the Wall Street Journal that, just kidding, we're doing a 75 basis point. They said last month, to your point, that they're going to be super focused on fighting inflation and that they're going to get to neutral, and for them, neutral meant 3.5%. They had messaged that to the market. Several Fed governors had said that, and now they're backpedaling again and going back to data-dependent. How could the markets be neutral when the CPI reading was just 9.1% and they're only at 2.25 to 2.5% Fed funds rate? Is that neutral? Because we heard from all these different economists that they were going to have to hike rates above the rate of inflation. Is that off the table now, Jesse?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. That was something that I think one of the first things I saw, in my Twitter stream during the press conference, is Mohammed El-Erian tweeted, this might be, a lot of times Jay Powell is too specific, and this is the problem with forward guidance, he said by suggesting they think they're now at neutral, that could be something that comes back to bite him, because with, a headline CPI at 9.1, 2.5% on Fed funds is still historically very, very loose. Very rarely have we ever seen the Fed funds rate this far below the rate of inflation. Only during, very briefly during the 1970s. I think in 74, the Fed was cutting rates from 10 to 5% when inflation was running about as high as it was today. And that turned out to be a major mistake. And I think this is one of the potential outcomes that the stock market is not discounting right now, is that if it turns out that inflation doesn't come down in the way that the TIPS market and other things are suggesting, that it's going to come down rapidly. If it doesn't do that and the Fed starts to slow its rate hikes, it's going to prove that the Fed is still so far behind the curve in terms of inflation and has a ton more work to do. That's potentially, a few months down the road. But if that becomes, more likely and becomes more apparent to markets and starts to materialize, that's where you could see the next leg down for risk assets.
Now, isn't that something we do need to be aware of, is that if inflation stays high, the Fed actually might keep hiking, right? Everyone seems to be now discounting the fact that the Fed is going to keep hiking, or at least hiking at lower rates. I think even if they keep on hiking, we do need to understand that it is a different environment than the past decade plus, when rates were kept at zero and everyone just kept expecting rate cuts.
Yeah, it's a very different market. And I think this is what the market is trying to price in over the last, 6 months, beginning this year, is what type of environment are we in? Right. If we're in a persistently inflationary environment, you do not want to own equities. You don't want to own bonds. And that was what the first 6 months of the year was, right? Markets going, oh no, inflation is potentially out of control. We got to sell our stocks and sell our bonds. Now the markets are trying to maybe suss out the possibility that the Fed has tightened financial conditions enough to bring inflation back under control. I don't think that's likely, but that's what the markets are wrestling with right now.
You're right, Jesse. Markets are wrestling with that, and I think a lot of people are trying to figure out just how this is going to play out, if inflation's going to come down, what the Fed's going to do next. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Felder, continuing to chat about the market.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health-giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Now, Jesse, last segment we talked more macro policies from the Fed, what it means trickling down into the economy. Let's talk a little bit more about markets, because on the back of especially that press conference with Jerome Powell, investors took a much more risk-on attitude, led by the NASDAQ moving up. But again, it was everything that started to rebound. You make the argument the market started to rebound about 4 weeks ago as well, but they had a little boost from the back of, I guess, just a slightly easier Fed. Where do you think markets go from here? Have we gotten back into that environment where you need to be chasing markets higher because the Fed is a little bit less hawkish?
Well, as part of this hawkish narrative that the Fed cultivated, through the June meeting, investors got really bearish on risk assets. And so one of the things that drives my short-term or shorter-term trading is investor positioning. And when you look at just the Commitment of Traders report, we saw record net short positions by non-commercial traders in equities. Even the small speculators in S&P futures got massively short over the last few weeks. And it's really hard to, even if you're bearish on the equity market over the next several years, when you see such crowding on the short side, it's difficult to maintain any short positions. What kind of confirms that is you look at the assets in leveraged short ETFs, right? So people are trading SQQQ, TQQQ, these things like never before three times levered NASDAQ ETFs. The long version of that ETF gathered so many assets through the boom that it got so crowded on the long side that the unwind this year has been especially painful. But in the last couple of months, investors have been massively loading up on these leveraged short ETFs, as at the same time shorting S&P futures and a lot of it in Russell 2000 futures. And so I think the crowding on the short side in equities just got too big. And that was based on investors taking the Fed at their word that they were going to continue this inflation fight come hell or high water, push financial conditions, even tighter, which means pushing stock prices lower. Now the Fed, Jay Powell just pulled the rug out from under those trades. And so this is probably a lot of, short covering I think we're seeing in the market right now. But the same thing we saw in equities, we've actually seen in precious metals too. You look at managed money positions in, gold futures, and they're short for the first time since 2018. So very similar to what we saw a few years ago when people were getting very bearish on gold because they believed Jay Powell was going to, raise rates for the foreseeable future. As far as the eye could see, people got bearish and started shorting precious metals. We're there now too with, in both small speculators and silver futures have their smallest net long position in 10 years. So everybody's given up on precious metals right at the time when Jay Powell's now saying it's probably safe to go buy them. And so I think it's a fascinating in terms of this positioning and catching traders off guard that I think we probably now see this. I think the short covering rally in stocks could last a couple of months before we see renewed selling into the fall. I think precious metals are probably forming an important low right here.
Yeah, Jesse, it's most rallies start with short covering rallies where the shorts get a little too over exuberant on the downside, usually at the exact wrong time when the retail piles in, and then that short covering rally in the general markets and the precious metals, even a lot of commodities today, almost everything is up except for the dollar and except for volatility, the VIX is down. So that just goes to show that I guess for right now, risk is back on the menu again. But we have another data point coming out. We don't have it at the time of this recording, but the GDP number should be coming out later this week. And Powell and the Fed have all mentioned that they're concerned about watching the labor markets. We're also seeing the housing market roll over. If we continue to see slowing growth, we don't know what the number is going to come in, but it's probably not going to break any records to the upside. So if we continue to see that slowing growth narrative and some other major markets rolling over, like labor markets, like the housing market, do you think that could change the narrative at all?
Yeah, I think it's kind of silly, this, debate over recession, right? I mean, everybody's talking about, okay, we might get two quarters of negative real GDP growth. That might mean recession. I think that's just beside the point. I think people are debating the definition of recession, and it's just, I think it's just silly. I think the larger point to take from this is we went from an economic boom right, where nominal growth exploded, nominal growth is still really high, to, you know, I think we're clearly in a stagflationary environment right now with nominal growth is still really high, but it's just not as high as inflation, right? And so that's where you get the negative real GDP growth is people, all these, everybody thinks a recession means, well, growth has to decline in nominal terms. Maybe. I don't know how they, I mean, there's so many ways they define a recession. But I think that the bigger takeaway is that we are in stagflation right now. Inflation is elevated significantly, right? 9% headline. It's massive. When you, Larry Summers recently co-published a paper recently that adjusted the inflation numbers to basically make them an apples to apples comparison to what we saw in the 70s. And it either raises the inflation rate today by, you know, using real-time home price data, or you change the 1970s, 80s data by substituting owner's equivalent rent for the homeowner's data back then. Either way, when you look at an apples-to-apples comparison, it makes the inflation in the 70s look lower than it actually does, or today's inflation is really like 11, 12%. And so either way, the inflation we're seeing today is just as high as it was near the peaks in the 1970s. PPI is already at the highest level it was in the 1970s. So I think it's really clear that the economy not growing as fast as inflation, that's stagflation. That's where we are. I think that inflation is going to remain elevated, challenging, you know, nominal growth, which would probably stay, you know, supported by jobs and things. But if we're in a persistently stagflationary environment, that's really all you need to know to make investment decisions. You don't need to know, you know, necessarily if we're going into a deep recession. I don't see that happening. I think that, you know, we're probably in just this kind of struggle along type of environment, and it could last for a period of time. And that's where the data says we're at right now. You don't have to know what definition of a recession is or any of that stuff. And in stagflation, you want to own real assets. You want to avoid financial assets, you know, over the longer term. And I think it's pretty much plain as day right now.
All right, Jesse, we're going to wrap it up here. But again, I think your comments there is that we're going to be in with a pretty tough economy for a period of time. No one can put an exact date on that. It's been around for this whole year, and it looks like it's going to continue through the rest of this year. Again, it was a big week just hearing from the Fed, even though they came in very much according to expectations. But during the press conference, that is when we started to see that volatility. Jesse, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. It's always great chatting with you. We'll chat again in another approximately month. Thanks again for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News.
The U.S. received more than 100,000 Ukrainians in roughly 5 months following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This fills President Biden's pledge for providing a temporary safe haven to those displaced as part of the largest refugee exodus since World War II, according to government status obtained by CBS News. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has confirmed over 100,000 Ukrainians' arrival, saying that the objective, quote, was never a cap. The Homeland Security Secretary also stated that DHS will continue to welcome additional Ukrainians in the weeks and months to come, quote, consistent with President Biden's commitment. This is USA Radio News. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has asked the D.C. National Guard to be activated indefinitely to help the district respond to an influx of illegal immigrants arriving by bus. Bowser's request to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and President Joe Biden comes as more than 150 buses from Arizona and Texas have brought more than 5,000 migrants to Washington, D.C. in the past 3 months.
We think they're largely asylum seekers who are going to final destinations that are not Washington, D.C. I worked with the White House to make sure that FEMA provided a grant to a local organization that is providing services to folks. But I fear that they're being tricked into nationwide bus trips when their final destinations are places all over the United States of America.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. We are now chatting with Joel L. Conan, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, usually we chat with Joel on Tuesdays to get the lay of the land for the markets early on in the week, but since the Fed was meeting and had their statement on Wednesday, we pushed it back to Friday. And Joel, I'm glad we did, because it's a feels like very different environment to end the week, especially post-Fed meeting and statement. Seems like we have a much more risk-on environment, the argument being we're at peak hawkishness for the Fed, and they didn't really provide much more forward guidance, and that has some people saying, well, maybe we won't get any more rate hikes. Who knows what the Fed's going to do moving forward, but I want to focus more on the markets and this risk-on attitude. Joel, what do you think about really every sector kind of benefiting from Jerome Powell's press conference and the Fed, again, hiking rates, but probably not hiking as aggressively moving forward?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad I made it to the weekend edition. Certainly, a lot has changed in the markets. If we would have been speaking on Tuesday, it seems like a long time ago, but the market got Walmarted on Monday. Walmart slashed guidance for the first time in 8.5 years, doing the guidance in between quarters, and that stuck a fork in the entire retail sector, whether it was directly related, a department store or a Target, a Home Depot, a Lowe's, I mean, you name it. It started the week out on a bad note, but, you know, the buy the dippers came in, right, and had some reports from Microsoft and Google that weren't exactly stellar reports, but hey, the company bought them up on those reports. Really remarkable days for Microsoft after getting slammed in the pre-market, coming back So that kind of set the tenor that they, you know, they're going to buy most companies that missed. Now the ones that beat later in the week are being handsomely rewarded. Even not super impressive beats with Amazon. Well, the loss of $3.9 billion for being involved in Rivian, but they liked that report. Apple had a good report. Tim Cook said nice things. So those are leading the charge higher. And then in between then, I mean, I think you could call it a little bit more of a dovish Fed, you know, with the talks on Wednesday. And a lot of times on during those Fed meetings, you get, you know, you get the up and down, you know, you get two, but it wasn't that way. They really took everything that he said as a positive, even though PCE didn't really confirm that today. But just a bullish catalyst, great week for the market, and we're not done yet. We still have, a little over 3 hours left in today's session.
Yeah, Joel, it really is kind of a turning of the tides this week, because you're right. It did start off pretty negative with the Walmart coming in with their news and just a terrible hit to the retail sector. And people were still pretty bummed even midweek. And even as the Fed came out and said, hey, we're just going to hike 75 basis points, that was pretty much factored in. That was a big nothing burger for most people. But it was the press conference where they started indicating that, hey, they're going to be more data dependent. We've heard that language from them again in the past, where they kind of gives them some wiggle room to waffle a little bit. And when people asked him, hey, what about the September rate hikes, or how far will you be hiking out, and they removed that guidance, he started indicating that we think things are a little more normalized now, which is a big difference from what their messaging was in June, which was we're going to fight inflation at all costs. So it seems like even in these earnings reports, companies are getting rewarded more than they really should have been for the earnings reports. What's your take on it? Do you think some of this is not just the news the companies are putting out, but just that bullish environment kind of rising the tide for most folks?
I think if, you know, just one thing, observing the markets, you know, over the past few years with you guys, I mean, the market gets overly optimistic and overly pessimistic. And when we made the lows in the S&P back in June at 3,600, market was factoring in, you know, a full-blown, you know, recession. And now, you know, in a lot of trepidation over Q2 earnings, just like the market gets, you know, too pessimistic, it is getting too optimistic, or maybe getting too optimistic. I was never in the camp of a major recession or a deep recession, just using the good old eyeball test. But, you know, the market is just, you know, taking what Powell said and almost doing an about face that, hey, they're going to finish hiking in this year, and then maybe in the middle of the next year, you know, return that punch bowl back, right? Start lowering rates. I think the market's getting a little bit of ahead of itself with that kind of thinking that, you know, you can, you know, fight inflation that quickly. But that's, you know, what the market does. You know, it tries to predict, you know, tries to predict the future. And when the pendulum gets too much to one way, it goes back the other way. And we had that extreme pessimism, and now we're having that extreme optimism.
Again, it's all on the back of the Fed, though, right, Joel? That's what I find so interesting, is all these people saying, the Fed is losing control, the Fed is losing power, everyone's losing faith in the Fed. But just goes to show, everyone also kind of wants the Fed to go back to easy money policy so that markets go back higher, no matter how much data we have that, in all fairness, keeps pointing to inflation running high, and you would think the Fed continuing to raise. Just the smallest of little pivots that we could see from the Fed seems to get investors excited. This, it seems like, will continue to be the environment that we are in, very much Fed dependent. And people still, it seems like, willing to put money at work even while downtrends are still in place.
Oh, that's certainly the case, Corey. You know, it was a Fed-induced, you know, rally with the stimulus. I mean, you also have to look at it, and, you know, I try and, you know, we talk short-term, we talk what happened for the week or over the, you know, today's the end of the month. But I think what are we coming out of right here? All right. We're 2 years, removed from the pandemic, right? So Q2 of 2020 was horrible, right? Nothing was open except for, you know, ordering stuff from Amazon and Kroger. You know, it was an epic disaster, right? So then you open up, right, in late 20 and 21, and like, woohoo, baby, we're back, right? The easy comparisons, and now I think you're coming into, the Q2 now, 2 years later, I think you're coming in a little bit more of a normalization, right? You don't have the pandemic. You don't have the thrust of the reopening trade. And I think the markets are normalizing. And, with every move, there's a counter move, right? And we had one. I mean, if you look at the S&P going from 2200 to 4800, to think that you're not going to have some kind of extended correction in there, then you haven't been following the markets for very long. And so, I don't know, like when people, like, I have a problem with it, like when they're like, bear market, definition, we're down so much, from the highs. Well, we more than doubled off the lows. So to me, it was a deeper correction than the markets had in quite some time. And it was a different quite of a correction than you had during COVID. But I just think I'm not in the camp that we're going back right to all-time highs, right? That's a long ways away. And I'm certainly not in the camp that, like, we got to go down and retest that low. I'm not in that camp either. If you look at the S&Ps, I mean, you're getting an area of very limited resistance. And the algos can take the markets down. They could take them back up just as fast. So just a warning to people out there that are like, oh, this is too much too fast. Well, if you're shorting in this area, there's not much up there. And I'm talking about 4,200.
All right. That summarizes it pretty well. Undoubtedly, these markets are going to be volatile, but maybe the worst is behind us. But that's also probably way too early to say that. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time. Great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for pushing this call back. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
All right. Catch you guys on Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue to talk about the fallout, or at least the repercussions from the most recent Fed meeting and statement, mostly on the back of that statement and press conference by Jerome Powell. Except in this segment, we're going to focus a bit more on some of the currency moves, as we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. I'll include a link to that blog within the weekend show posting. Mark, before we get truly into the currency moves, I just want your quick comment regarding what we heard from the Fed in terms of the Fed statement and then also the press conference. A lot of comments we are hearing is that the Fed and the other central banks are at peak hawkishness. That's what's drawing some of the optimism for a more risk-on trade. What do you think about that comment? Do you think we have seen peak hawkishness out of the Fed?
It's hard to say what peak hawkishness is in the sense that the Federal Reserve is still, I mean, the market's still pricing in a strong chance, like almost 100% chance of a 50 basis point rate hike in September, followed by two 25 basis point rate hikes in Q4. So the Fed isn't done. But I think that what Powell, the takeaway that many people took from Powell is that near term, yeah, Fed's going to be raising interest rates, but Powell identified the current target as the lower end of what he called neutral. So neutral is supposed to be this rate that doesn't, it's not stimulative, nor is it depressing for the economy. It's just neutral. And so what that means then is that Powell says something like, we expeditiously moved the target rate to neutral, and we will soon be able to, we'll soon need to sort of examine how this is impacting the economy. And he also acknowledged that it takes place with a lag. So the full effect of the tightening that's already been done this year has not really fully filtered through the market, through the economy, and we still have, what the market says, another 100 basis points of tightening. So not peak in rates and the Fed policy, but I think that where that insight is valuable is if you think that Fed funds, the terminal rate, might not be far from where we finished the year, call it 3.25 to 3.5, then the 10-year yield, as I've been arguing, at 3% is good value. And I think that's what that's coming around. I mean, if you think about the rate of change from, we've dropped from, almost 350 on our 10-year to like 265. the market's making this adjustment, and everybody, you know, I think it's fine that everybody recognizes the Fed's going to raise rates again, but here's what's creeping into the market. After the GDP number, after the PMI fell below 50, that boom-bust level, the market's pricing in a small chance for a rate cut by the middle of next year. And by the end of next year, the market's pricing in 50 basis points of rate cuts. So they anticipate that the Fed is, while not done, is going to be done by the end of this year.
Yeah, Mark, I think that's an important point you just made, because I think what's happened in the last couple of days is not just the Powell press conference, but it was followed up the very next day with a second quarter GDP number that was negative, which a lot of people would say, you know, is recessionary. Of course, the government came out 2 days before it was released and changed the definition of what a recession even is so that it's not a recession. But the reality is it's a weakening economy. We've already seen the housing market roll over. We've already seen the labor markets get under pressure. And so a lot of people were looking forward to, yeah, the Fed may hike 50 basis points in September, and maybe they get those 225 basis point hikes November, December. But they are looking to 2023 already. It's a forward-looking market as to when will those cuts come. And to Corey's point, that liquidity that everybody wants, they're looking forward to that. So don't you think that it was really a combo punch? It was not just the Powell press conference. It was that GDP number coming out the next day and people saying, uh-oh, they're not going to be able to hike much longer.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that many people expected a negative GDP print, but I sort of really would side with both Yellen and Powell and many economists. Here's the problem with, like, getting too carried away about recession. One, I'd say there's no definition. The U.S. never has used a two quarters of back-to-back growth. What happens is a lot of people in the market took an Econ 101 class, and what they remember from it is a rule of thumb that has no bearing on reality. Yes, the economy is weak. It's slowing down, and we might head for a contraction, for a genuine sustained contraction. But if you exclude inventories, because this is what happened. We had this huge shutdown of the economy, rebuilding the economy, reopening it, supply chain shocks. So businesses have had a very difficult time managing inventories. If you exclude inventories from the GDP numbers, both Q1 and Q2 would be positive. Powell and Yellen essentially argue that how can you have a recession when unemployment is at cyclical lows? Now, it's true that the National Bureau of Economic Research, it declares whether the U.S. is in a recession or not, typically does it with a long lag time. But there hasn't been a period in which you've had two quarters of negative growth that did not turn into a recession defined by the National Bureau of Economic Research. They want to look at not just a one sector, maybe the whatever it is, inventories, trades, production, whatever it is. They want to look at a broad measure, and they don't want to just see a small hiccup. They want to see a broader decline. And I'm not sure we're really seeing that. But I think your point is still very fair that the economy is slowing down. Powell recognized it. He talked about slowing that the early signs of weakness in the labor market. He talked about early signs of weaker consumption and business investment. The housing data, like to your point, is rolling over, but still at very high levels of activity, levels that would be that are only like weak compared to where they've been like during this like low interest rate stimulated boom. And I say that that these are some of the best levels that we saw since the housing market bubble. And it's true too. I think Powell was very clear. He said the economy has got to grow below trend in order to take off some of the stress on supply. So my sense is that we're headed for a recession. I'm not sure this counts for it. And the key here isn't so much how we define it. But I think the key is, will it change investors' or policymakers' point of view? Will it change their behavior? And I'm not so sure. I think the consumer is already retrenching. We're going to get the consumer credit report next week. And how are consumers making ends meet? By basically going into savings, putting more borrowing on credit cards. I'd say it was the April-May period was a record use of credit cards in the U.S. And, of course, taking equity when they refinance their homes. And I think what we're going to see is a slowdown in that revolving debt, that the credit card debt. And I think that's beginning to – then we'll begin seeing the consumer pull back. And then I think 3 months – maybe it's going to be 6 months from now. There's not going to be a debate whether the U.S. is in a recession or not. It's going to be very clear to everybody.
Okay. Yeah, so a recession is coming, and whether we say it's now or in the future, I think it is all just semantics, and well, it really just depends on how the Fed reacts to it. One thing we have to consider, too, is that after a decade of slow growth, right in around the 2% range, we had some pretty crazy shocks. 2020, the COVID crash, GDP was negative almost 3.5% that year in the U.S., and then in 2021, GDP was positive almost 6%, so these numbers have been all over the board, again, because of just how wild the last couple years have been. Let's talk about currencies then, Mark, because the U.S. dollar, it was flying high. It's pulled back a little bit from those levels, but as we're recording this, in around the 106 region. Now, a little bit of weakness has crept in later on this week. Do you think the top is in for the dollar, though?
Good question. You know, the dollar index made its high in the middle of July. 109.30 area. I think we have to retest it. And the reason I think we have to retest it is that as slow as we've been talking about the slowing of the U.S. economy, the U.S. economic challenges, I think the market is concluding that the U.S. is still like the driest towel on the rack, that Europe is much more exposed to Russian gas, the shocks. The PMI was also below 50. And so even though U.S. rates have fallen, the European rates have fallen even further. So dollar index, primarily the euro and European currencies, I think there's a good chance that we go back and challenge the highs. Maybe we make a marginal new high, but I think this is it. This is the tail end of what I think is one of the historic dollar rallies.
Something to consider here. Boy, oh boy, it's been an interesting year, an interesting summer, and this week's Fed meeting, again, causing a bit of a shift in investor attitude. Who knows how long that's going to last, but we're in the middle of summer now, so thinner trading, which probably will continue. Very interesting show this week. I think we got a couple different perspectives on the situation that the Fed is in and where the markets go from here. I know it's encouraging, I think, for everybody to see markets rebound, because that happened across the board. Follow through is going to be interesting. And again, there's been so much damage done to these charts that there's a lot of room to the upside for these markets to run. Also, a lot of resistance levels for them to break through. Mark, thanks as always for your time. Great having you on this weekend show. I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend show. As always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. That is fleck@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. Everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. Let's save GCN.com.